Well, hello everyone. So let's ask this. What is the purpose of prayer? Well, before we can really answer that, let's break this down a little bit. First, we need to know why we pray, and is prayer commanded? So let's turn over to Matthew 6 and verse 6. In Matthew 6 and 6 it says, "But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly." Well, it says here, when you do pray, not if you pray, God expects us to pray. We should pray daily because we need to maintain a constant contact with God. Without a strong connection to God, we cannot overcome the natural pulls of our human nature that leads us to sin. Let's turn to Matthew 13:18 and 23. I'm going to read the parable of the sower. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, he does not understand it. Then the wicked one comes and snatches away with the sower what was sown in the heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside." So the sower received the truth and needed more understanding, but not asked for understanding. In verse 20 it says, "But he received the seed on a stony place. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." So this example indicates that he received the truth, understand it with joy, but failed to develop a strong relationship with God, so when times became tough, he stumbled and fell. Now he who receives the seed among the thorns, he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and becomes unfruitful. The sower has immediate challenges. He receives the seed among thorns, meaning that he is in a bad situation to begin with and doesn't use the opportunity to rescue him out of the position that he is in. So the seed was never fruitful. But he who receives the seed in the good ground, and he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. The sower obviously laid a foundation with God, so the fruit will be produced. But you ask, did these other three actually have a fair chance at producing the fruit? My answer would be yes, simply because of the following scripture. If we turn to John 6:44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day." So all the four examples, it reads, "hears the word." They all heard the word and then made a choice to do what they heard. Put yourself in any one of those situations, would you say to yourself, I can't expect to produce fruit under these conditions, and just give up? But when you don't turn to God and ask for guidance and for His will to be done, you will be met with negative results. Always remember that human nature, that is in all of us, is strong, but not stronger than God's Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Psalms 66, 18 and 19. I'm going to read in the New International Version. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God surely listened, and He has heard my prayer. So that means that the person did not have a clean heart. But there is a glimmer of hope if we read in Romans 8:20. For the creation was subject to futility and not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruit of the Spirit. Even ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is not seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we don't see, we eagerly await for it with perseverance. That's kind of like a kid waiting for his allowance. He endures all the tough chores and finally he gets the payoff. But when you compare that to a kid who just gets an allowance without doing work, he has not developed any character. We are developing character that earns us the reward. So if we persevere to get our reward, we will in turn build character. But if we just give in, but if we were just given the reward, we have not learned anything. It is important to understand and accept that because we are supposed to teach in the kingdom. If we do not learn ourselves to persevere and develop the mental and moral qualities that develops God's character, that we are unable to teach and lead in the kingdom. So we need to always pray to avoid sin, and when we do commit sin, we need to pray for forgiveness. But we are not just praying for ourselves. We need to pray for each other, even our enemies. I've always understood why we pray for each other when others are sick or going through tough times. But growing up, I would hear the minister say, pray for your enemies. I was stumped. Pray for my enemies. You mean that I should pray for those bullies and troublemakers at school? Yes, I should have prayed for them. Because if I had, maybe they would have stopped being a bully. There are a few conditions that we need to remember about prayer. The first one is we need to always obey God's commandments. And whatever we ask, I'm getting ahead of myself. In 1 John 3:22. In verse 22 it says, and whenever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do these things that are pleasing in His sight. if we're not obeying some part of God's law that he has shown us, then he may turn his face from you, as it reads in Isaiah 59 verse 2. But if your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, that he will not hear you. And the second one is, ask according to God's promises. In Numbers 23:19, and it reads, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. He said, as he said, and will he not do? As he has spoken, and will he not make good? God will keep his promise, because he cannot lie, as it says in Malachi, an example of a promise that God kept in Malachi 3:10. Bring all thy tithes to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. So if we tithe, and it goes on to say, and try me or test me now on this, says the Lord of hosts, if I not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings, there will be no room enough to receive it. So if we continue to tithe, the blessings that are available he would not be able to store them. So he has to shower them down to us. Ask unselfishly would be number 3. In James 4:3, it says, you ask and you do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasure. So if we just pray for whatever we want, it probably will not be answered. Just don't pray for your own pleasures, but pray for others. Pray for the sick. God acts powerfully on prayers that you make for others' behalf. And number 4, ask in faith. In Hebrews 11:6, it reads, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By believing and having faith in prayer produces answers that are difficult to explain, because you waver in faith, God is not obligated to answer. In number 5, it says, ask in Jesus' name. Whenever we have prayed opening, closing prayer, whenever we pray blessings over the food, we always end the prayer in Jesus' name. And in John 16:23, it says, and that in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Ending a prayer by asking in his name and authority gives attention and power to be answered. And we also have to be perseverant and fervent. We should pray and never give up. God may not answer our prayer until we are ready. Before he acts on answering our prayer, Jesus gives us a parable of the persistent widow. And that's in Luke 18. It says, and then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard him. Now there was a widow in that city, and that she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but after she had after but But afterward he said with himself, though I do not fear God or regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, and I will avenge her, lest her continue coming she weary me. So he basically gave her what she wanted because she was so persistent that he was tired of her coming to him all the time. The night before Jesus' crucifixion, he needed strength from God. Before it was about to take place, he knelt down and prayed. In Luke 22:44. And beginning in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great droplets of blood falling down from the ground. To me, that is an amazing example of fervent prayer, to be able to pray to the point that you sweat like blood drops. We need to pray fervently, earnestly, and with zeal. If we expect God to hear our prayers, and finally, we need to always be thankful. If we read in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. So we need to always give thanks to God for all the blessings, for all the answered prayers. The purpose of prayer is to stay close to God, ask for forgiveness and blessings, and to thank Him for all that He has done for us. With continued prayer, continued daily prayer will accomplish miraculous change in our lives through the power of God's Holy Spirit.